Wrong with attitude.
It's time for mansplaining.
There's something called mansplaining. Have you heard about this?
Every week here on The Left Show, I'm going to take the time to explain to you Neanderthals all about women.
We know what mansplaining is.
Mansplaining is when a man will condescendingly explain something to a woman that she already knows.
Anyway, gents, pay attention. This is the good stuff. This is mansplaining. It's 2017. I can't believe I have to do this. Fucking ridiculous. Alice Ruth Bolton was born in Loosedale, Mississippi on May 25th, 1967. She was the 16th of 20 children born to Linwood and Leola Bolton on a 22-acre farm in McLean, Mississippi, population 600. Ruthie's father was a pastor, and her mother was, apparently, a baby factory. Alice was an athletic kid and a serious tomboy from an early age. She was outside so much of the time, she jokes that she felt that nightfall was God's way of punishing her. She played basketball at McLean High School. Alice grew up in the shadow, quite literally, of her older sister, Mayola. Mayola took the McLean girls basketball team to their first state championship, and Ruth took them to their second just a couple of years later. Mayola went to Auburn University, and Alice followed her there. Alice Ruth Bolton, known to friends, family, and opponents as Ruthie, fought to make the team at Auburn and joined the ROTC to help toughen herself up. She was told by the coaches she'd never play as a freshman, and she busted her ass to prove them wrong. Ruthie wound up starting for the Auburn Lady Tigers as a freshman. The team had a 119-wins, 13-loss record during her years there, winning three Southeast Conference titles and four NCAA tournaments, making the NCAA finals twice. Ruthie ended up joining the Army, eventually serving as a lieutenant in the Transportation Corps. Ruthie would go on to play professionally overseas and win two gold medals for Team USA during the Olympic Games in Atlanta and Sydney. She was drafted to join the Sacramento Monarchs during the WNBA's inaugural season in 1997 and became a Hall of Famer. Her name will soon be added to the Sacramento Walk of Stars, which honors the accomplishments of celebrities and others who have called that particular region in California home. Ruthie is a badass. She's a tough lady. She destroyed every obstacle in her way, totally unstoppable except for one thing. For a decade, from 1991 to 2002, Ruthie Bolton's personal life was a terrifying hellscape that she did not expect to survive. Most murders of American women involve domestic violence. According to a report released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention earlier this year, around three women a day are murdered by an intimate partner, and in many cases, children and others are also killed. The majority of mass shootings, defined as four or more people fatally shot, not including the perpetrator, involve domestic violence. The CDC report has also noted that young women of color are disproportionately affected. One-third of female homicide victims were under 30, and a larger proportion of black and Hispanic victims are in this group. Black women have the highest rate of dying by homicide in general. It's also a well-established fact that women in the United States are far more likely to be killed by an intimate partner than by any other group of people. And it's not strangers, friends, or acquaintances who pose the biggest threat to women's lives. It's the men they date and marry. Ruthie Bolton married a cop who was a bad, bad guy. And I'm not going to say his name because fuck that guy. For more than 10 years, a woman with two NCAA division titles, two Olympic gold medals, eight seasons in the WNBA as the Sacramento Monarchs' original franchise player, and a lieutenant in the United States Army was kept in an ever-intensifying state of hurt and terror at the hands of a man who blamed her for his abuses. In the name of loving her so much, he couldn't control himself. According to stories that Ruthie now tells in public to teach women how to notice abusive relationships, early in their marriage, petty jealousies led to slaps, progressing to punches for offhand comments and beatings when jealous rages flared out of control for imagined offenses and fictional paranoias. Ruthie, for most of their marriage, thought that the abuse was her fault because he blamed her every time he hit her. Telling her story of a night in 2002, Ruthie remembers thinking that tonight may be the night he kills me, as her husband called to her from their living room. She could see him from the kitchen, sitting in a chair, drink in one hand, gun in another, demanding she come into the room. Ruthie did the bravest thing of her entire life, and she ran away. Not a lot of people in abusive relationships can find the strength to leave. And when they do, it's amazing. And sadly, under-celebrated, under-noticed, and under-appreciated. Gaslighting is a new term that abusers use to confuse, confound, and to push responsibility for their own bad actions onto the victims. And a lot of domestic violence involves gaslighting. There's also a great deal of Stockholm Syndrome involved. These are people that you love. These are people that are supposed to care for you, and you for them. And when the violence happens, it's confusing, and it's very easy to blame yourself. Ruthie Bolton no longer blames herself. And Ruthie Bolton, when talking in public, tells her story to inspire other people and to give them the confidence that they need to break the chains of their abusive relationships. The stories Ruthie tells are of jealousy escalating into cruelty and physical violence. And she didn't tell anybody. She didn't tell anybody that she was being beaten at the hands of her husband, who pulled her hair, who called her shitty names, who took the value of her accomplishments and made them seem almost worthless in her eyes. She stayed silent about his blow-ups. When she was late for an appointment, when she brought home the wrong thing from the store. And he claims none of it ever happened. He says there was never any physical contact. He says that she's making it up. And he says that he'll hire a lawyer to sue her for the things that she says. And here's the thing. That is often the denial and cry of an abuser. They deny that anything's ever happened. They don't see that what they've done is out of the norm at all. In some cases, they pretend that it's never even happened so that they can justify their day-to-day existence when you look in the mirror and you know deep down on a cellular level that you're a piece of shit. And Ruthie Bolton's husband was a piece of shit. Ruthie spends a lot of her time teaching kids how to play basketball now, especially young girls, and teaching them to think and to empower and to love themselves. There was a documentary ESPN put out, Mighty Ruthie, about a year ago that's been shown all over the country. And Ruthie goes to the events to talk about what happened to her. And she speaks on panels about domestic violence. She says, if this can help save one person's life, it'll be worth it. And that's enough for her to break out of the strange societal stigma that domestic abuse causes among those that are its victims in an effort to help someone else cope with what they're going through. Now, guys, let me sit back for a minute and just say this. There are instances of domestic abuse against men as well. And my point in bringing this up, not only to introduce you to Ruthie Bolton, who truly is a badass and an athlete at a level very, very few men can ever hope to either reach or to catch. If you see something, say something. And while the Republicans have co-opted that into a paranoia about people with tan skin, the truth is one of the most important things that you can have legally is a paper trail. And those paper trails are not going to come from the person who is being abused. Rather, they come from those people who care enough to step in. We live in a country where actually taking a physical stand, or even as tempting as it is to want to engage in a little vigilante justice of your own, any guy that would beat up his significant other, man or woman, any woman that would beat up her significant other, man or woman, is the kind that would sue for a proper beating. Because trust me, anybody that beats up someone who is helpless to fight back deserves to be pounded into the dirt over and over and over again in any kind of an attempt to teach them a fucking lesson about how much it hurts, if nothing else. Obviously, there's a screw loose. Obviously, whoever the abuser is fucked in the head and doesn't understand, honestly, probably what the fuck they're doing. And really, it feels good to give some back. The problem with that is that people like that, they get a beating, they sue. They sue and they lie. And they're so good at it, they're so good at twisting it around that they can make the fucking cops and the court system dance in their own fucking general direction. So what you do is you call the cops and you tell the cops what you know and you tell them what you hear. And you do it as often as you think you need to, sometimes more often. Because sooner or later, having the cops show up at the door over and over and over again, that can help get through. Or when the hopefully inevitable split happens and you're going through the court system to dissolve the union, you have a paper trail signed by police officers that show that there's been a problem and that the cops have been called because of bad behavior time after time after time. Ruthie Bolton is a badass. Ruthie Bolton is doing what she can to help others be the kind of badass that she is. Ruthie Bolton is also a cautionary tale, an example of someone that tough, that strong, that deserving of their own self-confidence that can be beaten down by the smallest of things and people. That's it this week for mansplaining, guys. Do me a favor until we talk next week. Remember, no means no. Eyes up here.